Καλημέρα σας. Η Εκκλησία στην Γλυφάδα θέλει να σας χαιρετήσει με πολύ αγάπη από τον Χριστό μας. So I had to greet you from the local church, especially because Katie's here in Gleefatha, where I pastor. A little Greek greeting. They said to be sure and greet you with the love of the Lord. And I'm so thrilled to be here this morning. And of course, many of you, you don't know me except for Katie, but I've probably known her all of her life. And her mother actually was a friend of mine, and her mother's mother was a friend of my mother's. So we go way back, actually. I grew up in Raytown, Missouri. My parents actually, nor my mother, they weren't Christians. My mother gave her heart to the Lord right before she passed away. But as a little girl, in Northeast Kansas City, I was about 6 years old. Actually, your grandma and my grandma took me to church. You may not even know that, Katie. And that night I gave my heart to the Lord. And that night I actually had a vision of people. I didn't really know what it was, but different colors of skin, different clothing on. And I stood up and I told everybody in the church that I was going to go tell everybody about Jesus. And so I have grown up. I actually have been preaching since I was 12 years old. And I have been in Greece for 32 years. I have not, and I before that I lived 4.5 years in Canada and in Nicaragua. So I've really, it's been 36 years since I lived in America. And I tell everybody, I'm only 39. 39 forever! Forever! So, but I love the Lord. I mean, He is just so absolutely amazing. I had quite a journey getting here today. From Smith Mill, Missouri. I think it took me 2.5 hours, but praise God I made it. The enemy kept trying to get me real frustrated, nervous, and worried, and I called during prayer time, and people were praying. I said, okay, God, they're praying. They're going to answer the phone, and they finally did, and I got here, and it's because, you know, it is true. God knows the end from the beginning and all the ways in the middle. Amen. And he is working on us, and I want to thank the Lord for the passage that Pastor Danny, and first, I want to thank Pastor Danny and Patricia for the pastors for inviting me or allowing me to be in the pulpit. I know what a very serious an awesome thing it is to step in the pulpit of another pastor. So I want to thank you very, very much. Because I want it to be God's word, not mine. In this hour and day in which we live as never before, we need the word of God. We need the freshness. We need the fresh wind of the Spirit. My words will fall empty. You'll leave here empty. You'll leave here remembering maybe a nice little speech. But when God speaks, it is like, hallelujah, the oil of heaven from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. When God speaks, we can leave here today, and no matter what we face out there, we will know our God goes before us. And Pastor quoted Jeremiah 31:3, which is actually one of my life scriptures, and said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And it doesn't matter where we are or what we're doing, God is great and mighty, and He loves us so much. But I need to tell you real quickly a little bit about the ministry. And so if we'll go to the PowerPoint, and then I believe I have a word for you today. But some of you met Cecilia, who serves. She is one of our missionaries. EME stands for European and Middle Eastern Ministries. We work all through Europe, the Middle East. We actually work through North Africa. We have recently planted, in the last several years, 4 churches in the Philippines. We just planted 2 churches in Bulgaria. And so God is doing mighty things. We have planted a house church in Tunisia. So it's a little bit broader than that, but that is who we are. In 1996, we formed this mission agency to work in the regions of North Africa and the Middle East, because you couldn't go in there as a church. There was a lot of persecution. The Christians were hiding. So we went in as what's called an NGO or a non-government agency. So we're able to go in and out. Let's go to the next slide. I'll try to go through this real quickly. And if you have questions, feel free to ask me afterwards. But this will help you to know and understand a little bit who we are and what we do. How many of you know what the 1040 window is? Oh, good. You cannot imagine how many churches I go to. People have no idea. 1040 window, what's that? But for those of you that do not know, it's on your 10th and 40th parallel of your globe. Within that window, it is the birthplace of the world's 5 major religions. It is where the poorest of the poor live. People live on less than $1 a day. It is where we not only have the world's largest mega cities, but now the world's largest meta cities. These are cities that are larger than mega cities. This is where the birthplace actually of the greatest conflicts of the day are birthed within there. Within that window, it is also where the most unreached people groups of the world still live. And that is where we exist and work. Right there where that little red dot is where our base is. So as you can see, we're right inside the window. Let's go to the next slide. Within this window, 3.1 billion people. And actually, that number is now larger than that. Now, we're close to 5 billion. And 95% of the still unreached people are located in this area of the world, and which is called the 1040 window. Imagine that number. I mean, it's almost impossible to calculate it, to think about that number, to fathom that number. But what catches my mind and what people remember more, 95%. Of the unreached people in the world today that don't know who Jesus is. Perhaps they've never even heard his name. They have never received a tract. They've never seen a television program through satellite. Nothing. They really know nothing about Jesus Christ. 95% of those people live within that window. Let's go to the next slide, please. Of those, 2/3 of them are, and it's now close to 3 billion, have never heard of Jesus, at least not as Savior. Go to the next one. And when I say that, at least as Savior, because most of you, if you know anything about the Quran, you know in the Quran, which is the holy book of Muslims, he is called Isa. And they do know him as a prophet. And they consider him a good prophet. They just, and we don't have time to go into that today, but they just don't know him as Savior. So we also are looking. Right, we're in what's called also the 40-70 window, which it raises up to the 40th parallel. That includes Europe. And Europe is considered a very post-Christian region of the world. Missiologists today are saying that Europe is the key to the world to reach into the 1040 window and for a great revival to come, because even the Western civilization, America and Africa, so many of the regions of the world that have been touched by missionaries come out of the 40-70 window. Many of you may know, and pardon me if I talk real quickly, but I just have so much of my heart I want to share you today. But in the 1700s and early 1800s, young men and women would fill caskets with all of their earthly goods, and they would put those caskets on ships heading for Africa, and they would say goodbye to their families, determined to go and to the darkest parts of Africa to share the gospel. I have been to some of the great graveyards in Africa, in the southern regions, where you could see the names, maybe even just one name, because they didn't remember the last name of one of those missionaries. And they, day they died, they had maybe even only been in country 1 month. But they went there, they plowed the ground with the light of the gospel. They never returned. They counted not their lives as anything for the sake of the call to follow Jesus Christ. And the Lord is looking for people today who will recognize, and I know this local church has experienced this over the last few days, but this world really is not our home. And only what we do for Christ here is going to count for eternity. And that's why we live. We live to declare there is one Lord and Savior, and Jesus Christ is his name. Amen. He came, he lived, he died, and he intercedes at the right hand of the Father for us today. And whatever need you have today, he knows your name, and he is praying for you. And God is here with us. Hallelujah. And he does love you with an everlasting love. And the Lord is looking for those of us that will count our life as this physical body means really nothing compared to the glories and all that we're going to take with us. So this is the region. Let's go one more slide, please. The 1040 window, it is a place of significance. I'll just read through it real quickly again. Biblical and historical significance. The least evangelized nations of the earth. The dominance of three religious blocks, but also the birthplace of five. The poorest of the poor. The unreached ethno-linguistic groups live here. The least evangelized mega, now meta cities. and the strongholds of Satan. You can read in Daniel 9 and 10 where you read about the Prince of Persia, which of course is modern day Iran, Afghanistan, and parts of Iraq. And the Prince of Greece. And I do believe very much that those demonic spirits have strongholds. They're working very much in Iran, Iraq, that region of the world, and they're working in Greece to bring down the kingdom of our God and King. But who is our King of glory? He is the Lord God Almighty, and we declare today, open wide the gates that the King of glory may come in. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And we praise him today. Come in, King of glory. He's already here, and he needs to come into America. He needs to come in. This nation is the most blessed nation in the world. I don't talk politics. I try not to talk it with anyone. Because I'm going to tell you at the end of the day, guess what? God already knows who's going to win. He already knows. Hallelujah. He just wants you to vote. But what he wants you to do is pray and bless your country and declare, hallelujah, I live here. I'm a citizen of this country. But more than that, I am a citizen of a kingdom with no end. Hallelujah. And hallelujah, we're going to rule and reign with Jesus. And it may not always go all right here, but heaven is going to be amazing, isn't it? Turn to somebody and say, it's going to be great. Hallelujah. It's going to be great. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go on to my other PowerPoint. All right. I've already told, I want to be able to have a little time to preach. Okay, so we're going to just skip this. The poorest of the poor. Oh, stop there 1 second. I do want to tell you this, because those of you, because this is, this little 39-plus-year-old woman from Kansas City, it's kind of interesting for you to know. 90% of full-time Christian workers in the world live in countries where only 10% of the world's population lives. 90% of missionaries work with 10% of the world's population. Go to the next one. You know what that means then? That means that that there's really only just a very few of us working in the bigger part of the world. Okay, let's go into the next one. Okay, and let's end it. Let's go into my ministry slide, if that's okay. Praise God. I'm so glad to be here today, and I'm so thankful for the Lord that I get to meet all of you and get to have a reunion with some very special people. I do want to tell you before I begin to share from the Word today, just as of last week, I received information. Nearly one out of every 100 people in the world today, think about this, in this room, we're probably close to 100 people. Nearly one out of every 100 people in the world today are displaced from their home due to war or ethnic cleansing. That's a staggering, scary figure. And Syria alone, and the reason I'm telling you this, and Katie knows this, and is that Greece is the first entry point into Europe on the refugee highway out of the Middle East and North Africa. We, at the moment, it's almost like we're just kind of a large concentration camp. We are holding so many Syrian refugees. They cannot leave the country. Our northern borders have been blocked by countries not wanting them. Turkey had a coup. It failed. We can't send any of them back to Turkey to even to live there. But 12.5 million Syrians are refugees. 12.5 million. And, sometimes those things are hard for us to get our mind. And then if we can't get our mind around it, it's hard to get our heart around it. Because the numbers seems so big. And the peacekeeping in the world is just not really doing the job. So I want to declare to us, it's time for us to be peacemakers, to walk the earth. Amen? I know the Prince of Peace. And he has called us to be peacemakers. Amen? The peacekeeping efforts of the world are not going to get the job done. And they never really ultimately will. We know that. This is going to get messier and messier. But I believe, do you remember that when Jesus, in the Old Testament, when the children of Israel were captive in Egypt, Do you remember as the plagues came, they got worse and worse and worse, and suddenly there was the plague of darkness? I love this one so much. Because, you know, it's kind of cool. Think about it. It was so dark, it says they couldn't even see their hand in front of their face. Imagine that dark. But you know what it said about the children of God? They had light in their dwellings. Wow! Hallelujah! That is amazing! So dark. And no matter how dark it gets out there, we are children of the light. We're peacekeepers, peacemakers. We bring the peace of the kingdom of God. Amen? And it's time for us to understand that. And one more fact before I get into the word. Katie, you remember the old U.S. Air Force base very near our church? About 5 minutes from the church that I pastor. By the way, women aren't supposed to pastor in Greece, but we don't discuss it. I just do it, leave it up to God. So, I mean, just, you know, just do it. You know, if God tells you to do it, just do it. You don't need to argue about it, okay? Amen. Just get busy. And we have men that come to the church. So praise God. But at that local air base, now I want you to imagine this too. It was designed to hold about 732 people. There are, as of yesterday, there were 4,500 refugees there at the base. And they have 32 toilets. So if you imagine 4,500 people trying to use 32 toilets, that means you don't even get to use the bathroom once in a day. And I share all this to say to you, that God wants to grip our hearts to what does the Lord require of you? To love justice, to act humbly. Micah chapter 6 and 8 talks about that. And Matthew talks about care for the widow and the orphan. You know, when we do that, we're being Jesus. We give them a cup of cold water. We give them the gospel. And part of what we're doing in the local church is just bringing women and children so that they can use the toilet once in a day, so that they can have a shower, and then we tell them about Jesus. He never promised all of us to have a BMW. He never promised all of us that we would have a home. I'm still waiting for mine, and if I don't get it here, I get it up there. And that'll be okay too. Amen. But he did promise we will not be forsaken and begging bread. And there are literally some nights, some of these people, all they get that have accepted the Lord will be a bowl of lentil soup and a piece of bread. But it's food in their belly. And he's there. Amen. Look with me real quickly, if you wouldn't mind, to John, the 9th chapter. Hallelujah. God, you are good. He is such a good, good Father. I love this passage of Scripture. In many ways, when I first discovered this for my own self, you know how you read something many, many times, and then one day you read it, and it suddenly it just comes to light for you. And this was one of those for me. I always love to read about the miracles of Jesus, but we're not going to take time to read all of it. But if you look back in John chapter 8, in that passage, Jesus has had a very pointed exchange with the Pharisees. He has declared, "I am the light of the world." And when he says that, he's declaring, "I'm the ultimate source of spiritual enlightenment." I think sometimes when we read about light, we only think of a light bulb. But when Jesus brings light, it's not just that we can walk through life and know the way, but it also means we have enlightenment of wisdom and answers. And if we could go to the miracles, do we have that on there? The miracles of the master creation. I think that's going to be ready. He is the ultimate source of spiritual truth. He declared to them, "I am the Messiah. I am the Christos. I am Jesus Christ. I am the one you have been waiting for." And the Pharisees saw many of the people coming to him, and they began to be very, very angry. So angry, in fact, that the Bible says they took up stones to kill him. And I think about that even in relation to my own self sometimes. Who am I that I would think that sometimes I would not be persecuted when I declare I'm a Christ follower? I follow Jesus. If they would take up stones to stone him, who am I to think that maybe there would be times that won't happen to me? And by the way, we do get people sometimes that spit on us and throw oranges. They like to throw oranges in Greece, not rocks. But praise God. But he slipped away to fight another day. John chapter 9, verse 1. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. One of the promised characteristics that we would know the Messiah would come was that in Isaiah 35 and 5, the scripture would say, and just stay there, yeah, right there. The scripture would say that he would open, the Messiah would open the blinded eyes. In the Old Testament, there is not one time recorded that anyone was able to heal blind eyes. People were raised from the dead, leprosy was healed, people walked, but no one ever received their sight. No one. Jesus won the debate of who he was in this particular chapter. And today we want to begin to thank God as never before that we know who the Messiah is and that he has come. Most miracles restored something they had lost in the prior to this, health or relationships. But when Jesus comes, he can do even something more powerful than replace what is lost. God can create something that was not there. God says in the Word, I make something out of nothing. Amen. That is who our God is. Do you need a miracle today? I sure do. I'm waiting for a whole lot more. I believe the Lord is getting ready for his people to believe him so much that we live by the miraculous, that we step into those things that are not as though they are, and we instantly begin to live and see them because that's our good, good Father. Our good, good Father who knows our name today. He is not limited today by what you or I have. He's not limited by where we have been, whom we have known. God can reach down into our lives today and make something out of nothing. And in the name of the Lord, we prophetically declare that today. Not because we deserve it, but because Jesus paid the price that all the glories of heaven could be released. That we could taste of heaven and know God. Jesus works miracles of a creative order. Number two. Let's go to the next slide. And if I get messed up on my slides, forgive me. Just go on to it. Let's go on to the one that says, Christ is not only the restorer, he is the creator. We're not going to take time to read all the passage. I'm going to leave this passage with you today to read. Hopefully you know this story. But Jesus is not only the restorer. And that's where we often leave him. We wait for him. You know, oh, I lost this. Can you help me find it, Lord? For example, for me, my son's not living for the Lord, and I want him to restore him. But I often limit the Lord to just those things to be restored. But the Lord is saying to us today, I want you to lift up your eyes. I want you to believe more from me. I want you to grab hold of heaven. Just get a big old handful of heaven and let it overflow. Because he says, my name is Baal Perazim. I am the God of breakthrough. I am the Lord God of more than enough. I am the Lord God who goes before you and behind you and all around you. Why would you limit me to only restore? Why won't you trust me today to also create? This miracle of creation today, I want to share with you. I feel like the Lord wanted me to tell you this today when we think about reaching out and evangelizing. Because, see, evangelizing is not just going, and I want to tell you, I think, and Pastor, you can correct me, but it's not just going and telling somebody, Jesus wants to save you, now pray and get saved, and you're saved, and that's all good, and that's it, and that's the end of the deal. You know, just walk and everything's going to be, you know, apple pie and ice cream, you know. And that's not how it works. The Lord wants us to go and go in the fullness of the gospel. And as we declare the good news, not only that God saves, but God wants to lift us up out of darkness into his marvelous light. God wants to live us into the fullest life that we could ever possibly know here. And he wants to show us the way how to live that. Jesus today wants to meet your deepest needs. Point number one, when we go, as we begin to share the gospel, look around. Last night I spent in Smith Mill, Missouri with my sister. She lives in Columbia, Missouri. There is not a single niece or nephew in my family that's following the Lord. And as I was sitting there and I prayed for the dinner, and none of the children had ever, you know, they only pray when Aunt Gail comes to town. And yeah, it's okay. And early this morning when I was getting up, one of the little girls got out of bed and came down and she said, "Aunt Gail, can you talk to Jesus for me?" And it was almost hard for me not to cry. I mean, I've been so troubled since I've been here about that, about my family not going with me to heaven. I want my family to be there with me. And then the Lord began to grip my heart as I was praying to be with you this morning. If we ever had a prophetic word, it would be that people out there who are lost and dying and don't know if there's any hope beyond this life, that there is one who knows their needs. There is one who cares. There is one that wants to walk with them and talk with them and abide with them and be with them. And, I've heard lots of women or men say, "Well, I have my husband and wife. They love me best." And I say to them always, and by the way, I was married, so I know how wonderful marriage can be, but I'm also divorced. And I know all the other side of the coin. But you know what I've learned? Even when I was married, when your husband's asleep at night, he's asleep. But Jesus never sleeps. He never slumbers nor sleeps. No one can be with us like Jesus. And the world's looking. When we evangelize, when we tell people who are desperate and they don't know where any hope is, they're looking for someone to speak into their life and tell them, "The word of the Lord is to you, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I never even go to sleep. Hallelujah. I never take a coffee break." Wow. Hallelujah. I love that about our God. Don't you? I get a little excited. I love him. He's been so good to me. He's so good. This man here in John chapter 9, verse 1, a man born blind from birth. We're all born blind from birth. We're all born blind. He had never seen. And every day, there's so many people around us. They have never seen. I don't know what the particular physical problem was that he had never seen. But as Jesus comes and he meets Jesus in this chapter, his life is going to be changed by the creative power of Jesus, the Son of God. His life will be changed forever. He has been a beggar. People are out in the world, they are begging. He is now going to be able to do something he has never done before. He'll be able to do something for the glory of God. There are many people out there that are just begging, trying to get through life, eking out a living, hoping someone will notice and care for them, hoping someone will speak into their life that it can get better. Well, I tell you today, it can. We don't need to promise people big houses and big cars and having the latest fashion, but what we can promise them is that, yes, you're going to live. You're going to live forever. You're going to live forever, and there will be no more tears and no sickness and no dying and no asthma and no contacts needed because your eyes are getting a little funky, hallelujah. No, none of those things. Amen. No arthritis. And if anybody has arthritis, in the name of the Lord Jesus, hallelujah. I feel like the Lord says, just believe today that the pain is gone in the name of the Lord, because he's a creative God. Amen. His life was changed forever. The Lord wants us to speak to people. We wait for the government to provide jobs and help with people. And listen, I live in Greece. We are totally a socialistic government. So I know what it means for people to wait for the government to help them. But I also see Greece is in the worst economic situation it has ever been. Over 50% of the church that I pastor, are out of work. Imagine you've retired and you get $2,000 a month, and the next month they write you a note and you're going to get $800. Those kind of things are happening. And when we put our faith in a government system, in a worldly system, we're going to begin to be disappointed. Sure, we're going to have heartaches. There's going to be difficulties. But the Lord wants us, as we begin to go forth, knowing who we are. I am a daughter of the King. And I may not get all my rewards here, but praise God, He will enable me, as I know Him, to make it through each day with the joy of the Lord. Amen. He wants us to show the world when we know Him. When Jesus comes, our life is changed forever. Think about this. Eyesight is the most important of all of our five senses. I think about this every time I preach this. I re-question it. And I think, yeah, it's true. Think about it. You could lose taste. I actually don't have much taste or smell. I had pneumonia in Israel about 15 years ago, and so my smeller doesn't work too well, and my taster doesn't work too well, but I still love to eat ice cream and chocolate. And praise God. And you know, you can burn your fingers on the iron, but you can still function fine. You can see to do everything. And if you can't hear too well, you can still see where to go. There's something about the sense of sight that most people would say it is the most important of your five senses. This man's need was very basic and a very important one. Today, we need to understand we have the message of sight. We have had a glimpse of the glory of God when we met Jesus. We need to give this vision of the beautiful one, of the famous one. Turn to somebody and say, who's famous in your life? I hope you said Jesus. Oh, good. Randy, is that your name? Randy, is that your name? Yes. Wrong. Robert, I got an R. Hallelujah. He said Jesus, and it's true. Taste, smell, touch, see, hear. Let's go to the next one. Jesus not only healed his eyes, but also his heart by revealing to him, I am the Messiah. I am the anointed one. I am the one you've been waiting for. Each morning when we wake up, instead of thinking about the problems, if we would begin to think about I know the Messiah. Begin to praise and thank Him. Whatever junky stuff is in your day, if you would crown your day with Him, then we would become evangelists that would turn their world upside down. Because I think that's why those original ones, the Bible says in Acts, they turned the world upside down in the book of Acts. And you know why? Because the original 12 had walked and talked with Jesus, and they shared that with everybody they met. That's what we do when we walk and talk and tell with everybody and say, hey, I met Him. I talked to Him today, and this is what He said to me. This is what He spoke to my heart. And just to be so full of the joy of the Lord. Yes, my husband left me, but get what? Guess what? I'm still happy. Amen. Amen. It's true. I'm so tired of seeing Christians like this. That's not who we are. That is not, we know the one that makes all things new. We know the life changer. Amen. Go to the next slide. Once this man met Jesus, everything changed. Has everything changed in your life? This encounter with Jesus impacted him physically, spiritually, relationally, emotionally, vocationally. He could get up and work. Hallelujah. Professionally. There was, if you could go on and take time to read the chapter, we're not going to have time. There was a confrontation. His parents, even when they went to the synagogue, they were kind of afraid that they were going to lose their relationship in the synagogue. It's kind of like people that I work with in Egypt and Tunisia, all through North Africa and the Middle East, and in Israel. Often when those people come to know Jesus and accept Him, if their families find out, they are forever ostracized. Some of them, their families strive to murder them. They are no longer considered part of the family. But you know what? These people, when they really meet Jesus, they don't count that as anything, because they've really met the man who knows all about them. They really have met the one that wants to be there with them always. When we meet Jesus, today, the more you meet him, the more you know him, the greater evangelist you're going to be. You're going to be able to not just give a word that changes hearts, but when people have hope in their spirit, they begin to have hope that they can do something with their life. They can change their neighborhood. They can be a shining light at Dillard's or one of those places. Amen. Amen. One of the, absolutely. Yesterday I was in a place called Dollar Tree. Yeah, Dollar Tree. It was the grumpiest saleswoman I've ever seen in my life. I mean, she was horrible. So I just looked, I said, do you have a bad day? Could I say something nice to you? And there was a lady behind me, sweet little lady. I think she must have been from somewhere in Africa. She says, bless her, Jesus, bless her. And I said, yeah, that's exactly what she needs. Amen. Hallelujah. That's who we're supposed to be. Amen. In the Dollar Tree store. That's evangelism. Because when we encounter Jesus, everything changes. Jesus wants to give us what, listen, this is true. Jesus wants to give us what we have never had so we can become what we have never been and do what we have never done. Yay! I love it! Hallelujah! Isn't that amazing? I love this about my God. And it's not just for me, it's for all of us and for all who will follow after him. And we're not talking about material goods. Those are the extra things. But when we get changed in here, he wants to give you what you never had so you can become what you've never been and do what you've never done. Amen. He wants to give us spiritual sight. We think if we had seen him back then 2,000 years ago, we would have believed him. But we read this chapter and in chapter 8 right before. Others saw him and still in their mind, they reasoned away. They found a way to reason away who he was. They argued. They tried to kill him. It's not going to make a difference if you'd seen him 2,000 years ago or today. It's up to you to believe today he is the Messiah. Amen. Lord, give us spiritual sight. Jesus sometimes does things for me I do not understand. He does things for me I don't deserve. In this chapter, how did it happen? Pastor, you might have to warn me time. I can't see real well. No clear explanation. Because remember, if I tell you the whole story, Jesus tells the man, go, and Jesus says, go and spit, and there's no miraculous properties in spit. I looked online. I looked in encyclopedias. Spit's just spit. You know, we all have, so don't think your spit's more wonderful than mine. You know, we're all just spit, okay? By the way, you're just a mud ball anyway. God just, you know, took a bunch of dirt, a bunch of mud, and you're all just a bunch of mud balls. Praise God. Hallelujah. I love that about God. Amen. There's no real clear explanation because there's nothing in clay and spit to heal eyes. No, there's nothing in that can cause the cornea or the retina to heal. The people couldn't wrap their minds around it. These Pharisees that judged it and said no, and we deny that, we don't believe it, they missed what could have been their greatest miracle. And the Lord is telling us today, don't miss what could be your greatest miracle. To have more and more sight of who he is. More and more revelation that you can give more and more to others. There are people that try to define miracles out of existence. They choose not to believe. If you're here today and that is you, you are a loser because I'm going to tell you what, God's still in the miracle business. Absolutely. I'm going to tell you what, my little son, when he was born over at Baptist Memorial on Missouri side, they told me he was going to die just in a matter of hours. His whole esophagus was not complete. It stopped. It didn't complete. There was no way. They said they don't think we can operate him in time. After 3 sets of x-rays, because the x-rays kept getting blurry. Guess what? The third one, the esophagus was there. I have those x-rays. God is still in the miracle-working business. Don't let, I want you today, I want to challenge you to let go of old thought patterns. The Lord wants to give you a new way of thinking. The world needs a new way of thinking if you're going to be the evangelist in this hour. We have to do it His way, not our way. Amen. Don't think that way anymore, because it will prohibit you from receiving from God. All the intellectual and spiritual arguments of today, the philosophies, will block you, religious spirits, from receiving from God. And sometimes you think, well, that just doesn't fit my system. Well, get rid of your system and get with God's system. Amen. Get on God's page. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, well, if I change, it's going to cost me something. Well, wouldn't you rather have the miracles of God than a little price you have to pay? Like maybe pray a little more or talk to the next door neighbor. Amen. Hallelujah. Pay your tithes. Hallelujah. Be honest. The miracle working power of God will lead you into a deeper encounter with God than you've ever known. Then you, and people, the millennial, this generation that is alive today. I've been in quite a few interviews with next geners recently and been in some meetings around the world. To a person, every one of these young people, you know what they say? We believe the Holy Spirit is alive. When we speak in tongues, or, you know, we pray some, but we're hungry to see something real. We're hungry to see something real. Hallelujah. We know the one who is real. My God is real, and God wants to visit us. Hallelujah. God wants to lead us into deeper encounters so your eyes will be open. Let's go to the next one. Jesus is not limited. Okay, go back one. I just want to read that one. Go back one. Jesus is not limited by your present or your past. Is it time for me to wind up? Oh, thank you. Good. You're good. You're good. Oh, no, keep praying. I like it. We could even do some, you know, gospel stuff. Hallelujah. Praise God. I love it. I play. Jesus is not limited. This is one of my favorites. Valerie and Katie know a little bit about my background. No need to tell you. It's in the background, right? Because that's happened back there. And I'm not one of those people that I believe you forgive it all. I mean, forget it all. I've forgiven, but it's kind of in those memory chips there. But then it doesn't bother me anymore. It's just one of those I pull out if I need that information to minister to you. It doesn't hurt. It's information. That's all, right? Yeah, it's in those little memory, those computer chips there. Oh, yeah, that happened. Oh, how did God see me through that? Now, here's what you do. Your past, you can be the victim of sexual abuse. Your husband could have thrown you away and walked away and lived a very alternate lifestyle. Your parents could have told you they never wanted you. Your employer could have fired you for no reason at all. You could have had people on the job that lied to you. You could have lost your house and you thought you were working so hard to pay your mortgage. All of those things, whatever's happened in your life, the Lord wants you to know that shouldn't limit you. Those are just things that happen. They happened. It doesn't limit Him at all. And whatever is happening in your life right now today, whatever heartaches, whatever griefs, whatever you're going through, I look at women weekly. About a week, 2 weeks ago, right before I came here, we were having a feeding at the church, and this woman opened a great big bag, and we were serving just a soup. It was like a broth with a little bit of potato in it and some vegetables. And I was watching as she was sitting at the table, and she poured that soup in a plastic bag, looking around to see if anybody was watching her, and put it in her bag. And she spoke Farsi, which is from Iran, and I don't understand Farsi. So I asked somebody just if they could go sit by her and find out what that was all about. And she had 5 little children sleeping under a tree in not far from the church. And she wanted to be able to take some food back to them. And I think, you know, we get so hung up in our present circumstances. But she was so happy just to have that soup she could take to her children. No complaints. No complaints that I don't know where if I'm ever going to have a home again. Don't know where I'm going to sleep tonight with my kids. But beginning to hear that Jesus was with her even in the darkest nights of her soul. Next one. Your resources or circumstances do not limit his power. He can make something out of nothing in your life. Like I said, the local church, over 50% of our church, people are out of work. Three other churches in Athens have recently closed down. They lost their buildings. And when you lose your building, you lose your license. And we've just have prayed and sought the Lord. And do you know what? Every month, don't know where it comes from, but our rent money comes. Our rent money comes. Because we can't, and if we lost the building tomorrow, if we've done our best, it's God's business. And I think people need to see that in us, people in the world. They need to see that whatever happens, it's God's business. It's God's business. He still loves me. And he's going to give me my piece of bread tonight. I may not have all the extras. Because you see, if we go about the business of promising all the extras, then we preach a faulty gospel. And the Lord wants us to evangelize with the truth that he will be with you. But we're all refugees here. This world's not my home. I'm a refugee here and I'm just waiting to get home. Hallelujah. He's a great God. This man had been born blind, and is always the case with the circumstances of our birth. His life was profoundly affected by the things that happened when he was born. Things in life that were completely beyond his control. Many things in our life are completely beyond our control. Go to the next one. But notice, if we had time to read it, the contrast of his response and that of the disciples. The disciples, they ask, well, Jesus, who's guilty, him or his mom and dad? But Jesus was concerned about the issue of suffering and need. The disciples were still operating under law, but Jesus was moving in a paradigm of grace. I don't know who sinned. I don't know why it happened, except that we're all born into sin. But I will tell you, when he walks in the room, it's not about religion. It's not about obeying the rules. It's about looking at him face to face, looking into those living eyes that are those eyes that are just pools of love, and knowing that God is there and he will intervene to heal your memories of things from the past. And if sometimes God even allows, he didn't cause it, but he will allow the stage to be set that he could come into your life and that he could do something glorious, something redemptive, so other people can know God is a glorious God and he can redeem even the ugliest, darkest situation. I'm not blaming it on God, but I am saying we need to see sometimes God knows we live in a fallen world, and God steps into a fallen world and he redeems those situations. Go to the next one. I'm trying to close real quickly. Jesus does things for me that I do not understand. Sometimes he works at times, in ways, and in places, and through people I do not understand and I would not even choose. There's some people he uses to minister to me. I wish he wouldn't. I don't like them. I'm going to be honest. So I have to pray about it, get to like them, you know. Well, come on, it's true. I love everybody, but I don't like everybody. Sometimes Jesus does things I don't like. And Jesus healed this man, and he didn't understand fully why he had done it. The Pharisees did not like it, and they couldn't explain why Jesus would do it. So they dismissed it. They dismissed the miracle. And guess what? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, and also in Philippians, they died in their sins because they dismissed the miracle. Let's help people not to miss the miracle. believing and acting upon what Jesus says to me will lead me further into the truth. That's what, if you go on down and if you're making notes, John chapter 9, 35 to 38 talks about that. If I act on what he says, if I obey, remember he went and washed. He washed the spit off of his eyes. And when he washed it off, the Lord, today some of you maybe have some spit and some clay, some old mud on some places in your heart. Places that the Lord, he wants to heal, for you to understand he saw it all along. And he wants you to be able to just put some spitballs in some other people's lives and then tell them, here, Jesus wants to wash you with his word today. And his word is, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Let me just wash that clay, that spit off you today, and receive the word. And you understand, even when your mother rejected, even when someone beat you, that he was there and he understood. But today he wants you to know that you are free from that. You don't have to live with that, the anger of that. But today, as we evangelize, we can tell people, let go and fall into the river of the love of God. Let go and be covered with the oil of his anointing that binds up the wounds. Let go and let Jesus wash your eyes. Jesus does things for me I don't even understand. Let's go to the last one. Next one. Jesus does things in me that other people do not understand. People don't really always understand me, and I am going to tell you, it's because I do know I'm a little nutsy cuckoo sometimes. But I met Jesus. Nobody really wanted me, but I met Jesus, and he did, and he does, and he will. Always and always and always. What can you do about that? I mean, my goodness. And a lot of people are looking for someone to want them. Guess what? Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus wants them. Say that to somebody. Jesus wants them. Jesus wants them. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. Jesus wants them. And you may not, people may not always understand how you evangelize. And other people may make a face at you and the Dillards if you witness to the sales clerk. You know, they might even come up and try to bump you out of the way or say ugly remarks and even nasty words. But ultimately, it's because they don't know him either. And one day, they might remember, I was in Dillards and I heard somebody talk about Jesus, 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 Jesus. His parents were put out of afraid of being put out of the synagogue. The own disciples of Jesus didn't fully understand. They were afraid of what it would cost. But today I will tell you, if you will let him touch your life his way, he will do a creative miracle in you. He will be so creative that even the people that have known you the longest will find it hard to believe. That happened to you? Wow. But it will also maybe cause great controversy. But we need to be willing to be led of the Lord. We need to be willing to have an encounter that will turn our world upside down. We need to get rid of our religious baggage today. A fetus can be damaged and be born and be damaged, but God can meet and even change that situation. God can cause that little baby that's being born to be the delight of that family. We had a little Down syndrome in a church when I first went to Athens, Greece. A church about this big. I'll never forget, almost every service, that little boy, he'd come up and he'd just stand up sometimes in the middle of the sermon and just, Jesus! Or he'd say, Isu, Isu! People just break out crying because they knew he knew Jesus. God can work with anyone. He is not the author of evil today. He is the author of life. If you know someone that has damage in their life, he wants you to be in their life that you could bring the plan of glory. He is trying to meet people at their deepest point of need. The Lord today wants you to release all those circumstances in your life so that you could minister to people, that they would release the circumstances in their life to him. Amen? Amen. The Lord is, you are the only Jesus that some people will ever see. And I don't mean to be contentious, and I don't mean to sound bold, but it is true. Guess what? Jesus lives in me. He lives in you. And I, amen? It's not like this. Da-da-da! Jesus is in me. Amen. Hallelujah. He's not going to go up here to everybody. I mean, he does to a lot of the Arabs. I meet them all the time. They have dreams and visions. But some of us are the Jesus they come. Surrender it all to the Lord. Today I speak to you and challenge you today to just allow the Lord to touch all those deep places of your life today, that you could be changed, to blessed, to be a blessing. Let Jesus touch it. It's like a bruise. You know, if you touch it first, it hurts. But at some point, it begins to heal. There are places in you only the Lord, only you and the Lord know about. And the Lord wants to visit those today, that we can rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. I don't want a philosophy. I don't want another theory. The Lord doesn't want to give us one. He wants us to respond to who He is and then bring that response to others out there. He wants you today to allow Him to make you the best message of the glorious gospel of peace and victory you could ever be. He wants you to get so close to Him that He works in you until He finishes in you. He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. If you want to create a miracle in your life today, you have to let go and let God and say, Lord, I trust you enough. As you reach out to others in His name, He will do the hard part if you do the easy part. All of us today, but I believe we need to be healed. And sometimes we're not completely healed. You know, guess what? I'm not perfect yet. I'm learning that more and more. Every time I think I'm a little better, I find another spot. And okay, thanks, God. You know? All right. Because every time I find another one and I give it to Him, then I know I get a little bit closer to Him. But it also makes me a little bit more understanding of really it is all about Him. There's never going to be anything completely perfect and wonderful in me except Him. Except Him. And He is so amazing. And today, I feel like as I was praying and talked with Pastor Danny about having a message of evangelism and thinking about, I see so many people in the world that just are broken and in need of someone to help him. Women raped in police stations all night because they will not deny Jesus. Their children taken from them. People rescue them and hide them, trying to get them out of countries. But you know what? They won't deny Jesus. I know one woman, she's been in hiding for over 2 years. Repeatedly raped through the night because she wouldn't deny Jesus. And some of us may say, well, what kind of God is that? Don't forget, we live in a fallen world. There's evil all around us, but God wants to step into that evil. God wants to step in that evil. And you know what she says when you meet people, when you talk with her? She says, I'm so glad. I'm so glad I got to suffer a little bit because I knew He was there all the way. And when I see Him face to face, He told me He's going to kiss all the broken places. People out there need us to go and tell. Go and tell. I just, maybe today where you're at, if you could just for a moment, it doesn't matter if you're 120 or 10. We all have places that today, just one more, let's give a few of those, more of those places to the Lord, that we could go and be His hands. Somebody needs a touch. We can be His lips. Somebody needs a little kiss on the cheek. We can be His words. Somebody needs to hear, I think you're wonderful. Somebody needs to see you look at them and just look at them with a smile in your eyes instead of hate in your eyes. But you need to be complete first, that you could give it. You need to let him be working on you. So, Father, I just pray for us today, because, Lord, I know you're still working on me. And I thank you, Lord. As every morning, Lord, if I just make sure I don't let anything else press in, but I press into you first. We meet, and Lord, you remind me, oh Lord, how great is your love, and that you're a good, good Father, and that you even have my name written in the palm of your hands. Lord, I'm tattooed there. Oh Lord, I pray, oh God, that we could give this wonderful assurance to those around us, all around us. Oh, Lord, help us to reach out to others in your name. Lord, heal us today. Father, in thy name, I speak to, Lord, your word. I don't have any word but your word, that those that have suffered in the past and have wounds, Lord, just reach down today, God. Lord, and just pour oil in the wounds. Heal the wounds and bind them up, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, today let it only be, Lord, a knowing with no more memories that hurt. Oh, Lord, let it become, Lord, a tool to reach other people that need to be healed, Lord, and helped. Those that sense a calling, Lord, from you, Lord, and there's been something, Lord, that's just been holding them back. Lord, today in the name of the Lord, every argument we declare, Lord, we just lay it at the altar and we trust you, God, for your time and your way. Because, God, you can do in a moment what it would take us years to do. Lord, no more arguments, no more worries, no more fears, Lord. Because, God, whatever that call is, and, Lord, in the waiting, we will share and prepare with those around us, oh, God. How great you are. How great you are. Lord, we do pray. Lord, I felt earlier to pray for someone with arthritis, but God, you are the healer. You are Elasmos. You are the Lord God, our healer. Oh, Lord, oh, yeah, Lord, just heal memories. Lord, I do believe there's just some memories first, Lord. Oh, God, and emotions, Lord, in thy name. And Lord, we pray that, God, if it's, they've been healed before, but it's come back because they've just embraced it again. Today, let there be decisions made. When the enemy would try to return and attack me, I will begin to praise Jesus. No, that is not mine. That is not mine. I laid it at the feet of Jesus today, and I'm going to be the message to others that Jesus heals emotions. God, we just thank you, God, for the healing of bodies. For eyes, Lord. We thank you for bones, Lord. We thank you, God, Lord, that you heal, Lord. Oh, God, I know you heal arthritis. Lord, I just, Lord, a crooked spine, dear Lord, a leg injury, Lord. I thank you, God. You know about it. Maybe other people don't even know about it, Lord. God, someone's worried, Lord, today that maybe there's something in their body not feeling right, Lord. But God, in thy name, we cast out worry. You are not the author of confusion or fear, but we lift up the name of the Lord God, who is the God of peace, the God of miracles. You are the God of miracles. We thank you, Lord, today for what you're doing right now in the name of Jesus.